Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 5. You're not going to understand what I'm going to preach on out of this verse, hardly. I mean, you won't yet, but we're going to go back and talk about the heart a little bit more. I just can't seem to get away from it, and I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks now, so we're going to have to take a break last week for Resurrection Sunday, but this has really been a eye-opener for me. It's opened my mind, my understanding about all this stuff drastically. I wish to heaven I would have understood this better even 2 years ago. And I hope that you'll get something out of it too. It'll help you this morning if you've heard the others. I mean, it's building upon. And so let's read this verse and we'll get started here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God. Another verse I want to read to you. It's going to seem kind of odd to you, but when we get done, it won't. Exodus chapter 23, verse 9. Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. What I want to talk to you about this morning and what I want to focus on is about knowing one another and how it is supposed to be with us as people, all people, but especially the people of God. Yeah, there's supposed to be a relationship and we're supposed to know one another. It ain't supposed to be a casual, shallow, empty thing. We're not supposed to know one another like we know the rest of the world, like the world knows one another. We're to look deeper. There's supposed to be something to it. And so, let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs. Thank you for the special song. Thank you for the Word of God we've read. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity. Please help us now. Lord, to be able to express what you've given us in our heart and what you made us to understand about these things. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do the work because I'm not able. And it's not going to be conveyed right and properly understood if you don't help. And so, Lord, I pray you would in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Now, God made man to have fellowship one with another and with God. We're social creatures. We're not made to be alone. You know, certain people think of themselves as lone wolves, and they're a loner and all this. You know, well, go ahead, but that ain't natural. That ain't right. It's not the way God meant for it to be. He put us here together for a reason. Not to fight and hate one another, but to know and to love one another. To be a blessing to one another. God made man for that reason. To be a blessing to him. And so God could be a blessing to him. God made man to love. And God made man to love him. He's the object of God's love. God created him for that. And he created man to love God. God's to be the object of our love. And we look around us and we see other people who are made in the image and likeness of God. How can you love God and hate your brother? How can you love God whom you've not seen and hate your brother who you have seen? We can't do that. So it all comes to that. We're here together because God put us here together. And, you know, the people in your life are there by divine appointment. Do you realize that? You know, God puts certain people in our path. Oh, I'm fully convinced of that. As I look back on my life, I know that's a fact. Good and bad, God puts people in your life, just like you need, according to His wisdom, which is far above ours. And He knows who you need to rub against. Like Seth was talking about a week ago on Wednesday night, iron sharpeneth iron. He knows what kind of file you need, and He'll put them in your life. He knows what kind of seasoning you need and what needs working on, and He puts the people in your life that'll do it for you. Sometimes they're pleasant, sometimes they're not so pleasant. But it all ends up when it's all over. If God has His way And if God's will is accomplished, it makes us into what God wants us to be. Now, the first man, and this is going to be a little, we're going to have to step lightly here because I don't want you to go off in the wrong direction with this. But I got to do this so we can get into this understanding that I'm wanting to show. God made man to have fellowship with one another and with God. The first people on this earth was a man and a woman. First man knew his wife. You don't get anywhere in Genesis. Genesis chapter 4 verse 1, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now that word's used throughout the Bible to describe the most intimate relationship. The word carries a lot of meaning, but the main thought that it conveys is this, discover. If you look up that word, new, discover. Well, that word means literally to uncover, to remove a covering, to lay open to the view, to disclose, to show, to make visible, to expose to view something before unseen or concealed, to reveal, to make known. I'm reading out of the dictionary to you. To espy, to have the first sight of, to find out, to obtain the first knowledge of, to come to the knowledge of something sought or before unknown. Adam knew his wife. It's interesting when you go study in the Bible and you'll see that that word knew used in that manner when it's used that way when the woman was a virgin. Now, see, I'm trying to be careful here, but I want you to get this. Otherwise, in other places in the Bible, when the same matter is addressed, he went in unto her, or he lay with her, didn't know her. It's a difference, a drastic difference. Y'all listening to me? Don't let your mind go to the gutter. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is interaction and knowing people, knowing one another. He knew her. It wasn't just, he didn't lay with her. Adam didn't lay with his wife. He knew her. And every time you see that word used in the Bible in that sense, that's what it's talking about. There's more to it than that. Judah went in unto her. Others went in unto her. The Bible talks about when a man see a maiden in a field and he lay with her. Doesn't say nothing about knowing her. You girls are selling pretty cheap if you sell out that cheap. Now, that indicates, one indicates a relationship while the other simply speaks of immorality. This is more reason to show, there's you more reason to show that fornication is wrong and has lifelong consequences. In this relationship, there should only be one discovery per lifetime. Boy, I know it's quiet. I don't know if anybody's getting this or not or where your minds are going with it, but I'm just telling you that's the way it is. It's a Bible truth taught from the beginning to the end. One man, one woman for life. Now, there's widows and there's circumstances, and I know in real life, it just doesn't work out that way every time. That don't mean there's not forgiveness, restoration. That don't mean you can't go on and find favor with God and live a life of blessing. That don't mean that. But this is the standard. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way it's going to be if you're in obedience to God and God's got his reign, got your reins and leading your life. Husband and wife is a special, most intimate relationship that should have walls around it. Now, that's what we're going to talk about is these walls and stuff, but this one should have walls around it between them. It's a relationship that's exclusive. While others may observe the love and the closeness, there's a holy of holies where everyone else is shut out. Y'all better listen to that. Intimacy really means no secrets. And that's the standard for a happy marriage. You want to be happy? No secrets between you. There better be a holy of holies where nobody else ever enters in or ever has any knowledge of. Where nobody else ever discovers. Amen. But that's unique in human relationships. See? That's a special thing. That's different than the way we're supposed to be with one another. However, most are living their marriage the same way that they run their relationships with others. They speak their mind and hide their heart. Yeah. They may be physically intimate, but their hearts are separated by walls and locked doors. Now that messes things up. That messes things up. Y'all listening? You that are married, you better listen to that. You better take heed. You're going nowhere until there's the right kind of intimacy between you. You can't lock your heart up from your husband, your wife. There better be open and free access there, both ways. Now, God didn't mean for mankind to be alienated from one another. By design, we're social creatures, and we need one another. We do. I mean, if you were the only one in the world right now, how do you think you'd get by with all the things you need? I mean, everybody is working together to provide this life that we live here. Our food, our everything we got, everything that we get, somebody else had a big part in it. It takes all of us. It takes all of us in a home. It takes both of us in a marriage. It takes all of us in a church. As a country, that's what's wrong with us, and it's killing us, and we're going to go under because we're so full of hatred and division and enmity. Can't be that way. A house divided cannot stand. It's going to fall. A house divided has to be one. There has to be unity. There has to be agreement. Well, how you get that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about here. We're social creatures. God designed us that way, and we need one another. But sin and its curse has turned us against one another. That's why you fight and desire to have, and war among you, and desire to have selfishness. It's because of sin and selfishness that we are turned against one another. That's what causes all the problems. Contention don't come, strife don't come, except by pride. Only by pride, the Bible says, comes strife. The reason we have conflict, and the reason we have hatred, and the reason we have all this working against one another in every relationship in life is because of sin. And it's curse. God designed us to know one another's hearts and minds. But we actively avoid that. We do. Sin has affected the hearts of all men so that we have a very hard time really knowing somebody else. Even our husband, our wife, our children. It's amazing to me. When I think about this and realize this, and then I look at life and how it is and everybody and how it is, man, that is so true. You don't know the person you're sleeping with. You don't know the children who live in your house. Now, that's the way it is. I mean, it's just the way it is. We look right on the surface. We don't look deep. We listen to the mouth and the mind. We don't look in the heart. We don't look deep like God teaches us to, taught us to, tells us to in the Word of God. And the examples that are there. No, we don't do that. We look at men as trees walking. We look at our wife, our husband, our children, our folks at church, other people everywhere. That's the way we look at them. As things, not people. We don't realize a heart that's there. We talked a couple of weeks ago or so about empathy and sympathy and feeling and how the Bible talks about them being past feeling. They can hurt somebody and not even feel a thing. With their words, with their hateful, mean words, they can take a knife and cut your throat and not feel a thing. They're past feeling. They are shut up unto themselves and they don't feel, they don't even realize other people, animals, any other life that it even counts for nothing. The only thing that matters is them and what they feel. Because they're shut up. They don't know other people. They don't try to know other people. They don't want to know other people. They just look at them as things, without life and without feeling. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. There's a lot of differences in people in their disposition of their hearts. Some people are open. Some people seem to be open and they're really not. They're putting up a facade. They're projecting an image that's false. That's very, very common. Just about everybody does it to one extent or another. Some people are open. Some people are closed. Some people are open and they just blurt out everything. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And they just, they just talk. And they just tell you everything. Did you ever meet anybody that just tells you everything about them just immediately? Did you ever meet anybody that you can't pry nothing out of them? There's a wall there and you can't talk to them. There's people in this room right now that I've tried to talk to and I can't get through. They're shut up, closed. Why? Because they've been hurt before. Because of fear. Because of other reasons too. But man, it makes it hard. You can't love until there's a connection, an open, a communication, an avenue between hearts. It can't be just mind, mental, words, and junk like that. It's got to go deeper than that before you can actually have any love that binds and bonds hearts together. You got to open up. But boy, we don't want to open up. We're like a clam that's squeezed shut and ain't going to open. But some people just put it all out there, He was on by somebody last night. All this social media and stuff, there's people on there that everything they think, everything they feel, everything. Oh, it worries you to death, don't it? There ought to be something in here. And they're not telling the truth. Most of the time, all that emotion and drama that they're talking about is just a bunch of junk. It's just a big smoke screen. Trying to hide themselves from what they really are and what they really don't want people to find out about them. Some are covered or disguised to hide the real person they are. Now we may have a mixture of these different qualities. We may be open with some, closed with others, covered with some, pretending. We may be open about some matters, closed about some matters, and covered about some matters. Y'all staying with me here? We all practice this. There's a different array of things here. There might be some people you'll be open with. Very, very few. That's a rare thing. Rare is the relationship between people when you can really be open and honest with them. Or that you will be open and honest with them. The heart's deceitful, remember? Desperately weak. Who can know it? It's hard to trust, isn't it? It's hard to lay yourself open before somebody else. The longer you live, you'll find the harder it is to do that. But that don't mean that's the right thing to do. If that's the way it was, boy, this world would get to be a worse and worse place because nobody would know anyone and nobody would care about anyone. This deal about a small town and a small community and a small church and all that, and everybody says that's terrible, that's the lousiest thing, that's the worst thing. Big, big, big. Numbers. Live in the city. That's the thing. No, what happens then is it's anonymous and nobody knows one another. The smaller the unit, the more apt you are to know one another. Because we don't know one another, really, by what we say about ourselves. Or what others say about others. We know one another by what you do. Your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And what you do is what counts. And when you live around people, you get to know them by watching what they do. What they love. And I'm getting ahead of myself here. But that's the way it is. But the difficulty in getting to know one another's heart, it makes for a much harder life for everybody. It don't make your life better. It makes it worse. Makes you more lonely. Makes you more desperate in a way because you got nobody to talk to. I mean, it gets down to the point where you ain't got nobody to talk to. I mean, you isolate yourself off by yourself because you don't trust nobody. You won't talk to nobody. You won't let nobody in. You don't want in on anybody else's stuff. You just retreat to your little monastery by yourself, like a monk. Stay there and think you're more holy because you did that. No, that's not the way God means for it to be. Nope, sure don't. The other way, cost us. Yes, it does. We get hurt. I mean, it cost us dearly, and that's why we shy away from it. You know, mash my finger. You know, as old as I am, you think I wouldn't do that anymore. Boy, I am careful, but it still happens once in a while. The only way I can stop doing that is to quit doing anything. Never touch anything, never work on anything, never try to do anything. I mean, I got to stay away from doors and everything else. And boy, you got to keep living. Things got to be done. You got to go forward. Well, why don't we look at life this way and other people as important as all this junk? Ain't other people's souls worth getting hurt for once in a while? Jesus got hurt for you. What if he'd have been like us? Just said, well, you know, that's just, cost is too high. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want them making fun of me. I don't want to give them reason to criticize me. No, that's not the way God meant for it to be. We're to have fellowship one with another. That means to know one another and to be of the same mind and heart. Our fortified castles get awful lonely as the years roll by and we find more and more people to shut the doors against. You know, Walmart, every once in a while I hear from these guys, they have to ban somebody from the store. All stores do that. I mean, you go in there and cause enough trouble, they'll ban you from the store. Won't let you in anymore. We do that we do that a lot more loosely in our own lives. Somebody says something to us a little crossways. We're done with them. That's it for them. Right? We don't care if they go to hell or not. They said something ugly to me. Or they said something I didn't like. That's the way we are. Well, you'll end up in your own little feudal castle, but you'll be all alone. You don't want to do that. If a man would have friends, he must. There you go. Show himself friendly. Sin has made selfish, sinful hearts deceitful. Now everybody thinks nowadays, you know, that you sin because you've got a deceitful heart. No, your heart's deceitful because of your sin. Amen. That's the way it works. We all know that many times a person may turn out to be completely different than what we thought them to be. Deceitful. I mean, everybody in here has been fooled by somebody. Everybody in here is going to be fooled by somebody in the future. You know, a smiling face, gentle words. When you don't look no deeper than that, it's easy to get fooled. And that's one of the things David said. He said, boy, he said, if it had been an enemy that done this to me, I could have took it. But he said, it was thou, my friend. You know, we walk to the house of God together. We worship God together, and he's the one done this to me. Boy, it's hard to take when it's that way. Yeah, it is. Where was Jesus wounded? In the house of his friends. Well, that's a fact of life in this sinful world. Y'all need to just get that. Just put that in your little backpack. Keep it because that's a fact. You're going to love, you're going to get hurt. Very likely to get. But the rewards are worth it. Are you going to be in your life like we are as a country about fighting wars and the way things are nowadays? There's things worth fighting for. There's things worth getting hurt for. There's things worth getting killed for. Yes. And if you ain't got that kind of a mind, you need to get it. When you're the only thing worth saving, your life's pretty pitiful. If you're the only thing worth protecting, Your life ain't worth much. You need to realize there's other things. There's other people. There's other souls. There's a lot more in this world than just me. And my life ought to be lived, and I ought to be willing to give, and I ought to be willing to suffer. How am I going to know Him if I don't know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings? And being made conformable even unto His death, how am I going to know Him? I ain't. That's how I know Him. And that's how you'll know Him. Life's that way. Crowns go to the people in heaven who've suffered. After that you've suffered a while. Why you suffer? Well, that's the main thing right there. That finger hurt when I did it, but that ain't suffering. Suffering's when your heart gets wounded and your heart gets hurt. You got to put it out there in order for that to happen. You've got to open the doors and let people in for that to happen. We've been disappointed and deceived so many times by people who put our by people that we put our own walls up and vow never to let anybody in that close again. I've heard people say that. You know, I'll never let anybody that close again. I've heard people say that. I thought, man, how in the world are you going to minister to anybody if you have shut the doors on everybody and you're holding them back and you won't let them know you? Well, you know, if Christ has done a work in your heart, real work in your heart, and you got anything at all, you ought to be glad for people to know you and know what God's done in your heart. You shouldn't be hiding it. Why would you hide anything unless you don't want people to find out? When you get saved, your heart opens up. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Yeah, it does. And love opens the door. Love opens the heart. When we put up those walls, we also stay behind them ourselves and refuse to come out from behind them because, you know, to look at other people and to look at someone else's heart. We put up our walls, and that's to keep people out, and it's to keep us in. That's what we do. So as far as our hearts, we have become sort of like it was in the medieval times. Each of us is a warlord in his own castle, and everybody else is his enemy to be guarded against or attacked and annihilated. You don't know what's wrong with people? Right there it is. Don't people act like that? Yes, sir, buddy. That's just how everybody's acting. Everybody's so hateful and hating one another and looking at everybody with suspicion, and everybody's out to get me, and everybody's going to get one on me. Now I got to watch out for everybody. Oh, my goodness, man. It's what's wrong with our world. It's wrong with our homes. It's what's wrong with our children. It's what's wrong with our churches. It's what's wrong with our country. It's what's wrong with the world. That's why they build armies and nukes and missiles and every kind of instrument of death they can imagine, because we've got to kill them before they kill us. We just hate one another because of the way they look. We hate one another because of where they're from or what color they are or something. Just hate them just cause, without even knowing their heart at all. How in the world can we be anywhere near like Christ and be like that? We ought to hate evil, no matter what color they are, no matter where they come from, no matter how related they are to us. We ought to hate evil. But we ought to seek to know somebody's heart. Boy, I wish I could get this across. Maybe I can as we go on here. But that doesn't make for peace in the world and in the home or in the church. When we do like that, and we just all have our little castles with our moats around them and the walls and the alligators guarding them, and I mean, won't let nobody in, and we don't go out either. Don't make for peace. The Bible's clear that Jesus came to remove the enmity between God and man and between others, men and others. Now, Jesus did say, I didn't come to send peace on the earth, but a sword. But that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about the fact, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven and how there's going to be a conflict between the kingdom of heaven and lost, sinful man in this world, in the devil. There's a big conflict there. Yes, sir. But as far as hearts of men, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. That's what the angels announced on the night of his birth. That's what he came for. He came to set the captives free. He came to speak peace, to heal the wounded, the brokenhearted, to put men back together. He talked about how that we would love one another. And if you don't love, then you don't know God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I think that's what he meant to do. I think that's what it does accomplish. In the hearts of people who are both saved and know Christ, they love one another. And there's peace between them. And there's open hearts between them. Because you can't have peace, and you can't until it's all open, see? Can't have secrets. That's the big trouble between nations, see? They all have these secrets, and the others having to try to find out their secrets to see what they're up to. Can't have a marriage where you got secrets and you're trying to find out what the other one's up to. You can't have a relationship with your kids when they won't be open with you and you won't be open with them. And when there's secrets and you're trying to chase around and find out their secrets, and can't have no peace, can't have no good relationship. That junk's got to go. Can't have it a relationship when there's suspicion and doubt all the time and mistrust. Love is based on trust. I mean, trust must, it's an underlying thing. Without trust, love don't work. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. 1 Thessalonians 2:15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Now, he's talking about the Jews, but that pretty well describes everybody, don't it? Don't it? Contrary to all men. Just against everybody, fighting with everybody, all the time. And that's the way everybody lives, don't you see? I mean, you say, well, I'm not that way. Yes, you are. Just think about how you think about people when you're in a car, see? Because it's impersonal when you're in a car. I've talked about this before. But it's impersonal. It's impersonal when we talk about Muslims halfway around the world, or Russians, or Chinese, or North Koreans. They're the enemy, and they're over there, and we don't know any of them. We don't know their names. We don't know their families. We don't know anything about them. We just look at them as things. When you're in a car, you're that way. Boy, you can get mad at people. Boy, you can say all kinds of things about them real easy I've seen it driving along on the interstate and everybody just and honking and everything. Then you pull in the rest stop and they'll open the door for you as you go into the bathroom. You know, hey, how you doing? Everybody's, because you're face to face. You're a person. You got a little closer, so you kind of, don't you see? And when you stay separated and you keep your walls up, you got that attitude toward everybody because you don't really realize they're real. Did you ever work with somebody and you may have been a little mean to them or thought ill of them and you got aggravated with them or something, but then you meet their family or something, meet their children, and it kind of just casts a whole different light on everything, don't it? It makes you feel bad. You ever watch the Christmas Carol where, you know, the little crippled boy and old Scrooge, he was so mean and hateful, and old, what was his name? Bob Cratchit. And then when you see him in his home with his children and his family, it sure makes old Mr. Scrooge look meaner, don't it? What's the deal? Well, you're getting to know them a little better. You look at them a little different because you know a little more about them. Everybody needs to know a little more about everybody else. Yeah. All right. You say, well, some people you don't want to know. Well, we get to that in a second here. It's one of the most difficult challenges we have to face in this life. But as Christians, we're bound to strive to know people in a deeper way than we do in our sinful state. Mark chapter 8 and verse 23 and 25. I mention this from time to time, but this is the blind man, Jesus. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. I think it's interesting because got him out of the crowd and out of the noise and away from all the voices of everybody else and got him away from things. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. How are you going to see much with spit in your eyes? Huh? And he asked him if he saw aught. And he said, wait a minute, what have I done? I've lost part of my verse here. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, listen, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. He had to look up. Jesus touched him again. And then he saw every man clearly. He was seeing what he didn't see before. Once we truly know God, we must look upon others in a different way than sin has made us accustomed to do. We got to quit looking at people like we've got in the habit of looking at people all of our sinful life. Selfish, sinful life. We got to quit looking at people like that. Man, they're people too. I don't care how low they're living. I don't care how rotten they are, how hateful they are. We got to look at them different. This is one thing that this has all really helped me with, because I do see people different than I did before because I realize this stuff. I'm not dealing with a thing. I'm dealing with a mind and a heart and a soul. It's deeper. There's more to them. I mean, her and me were talking yesterday about animals and stuff and how that they're sensitive to people's emotions. Well, where's your emotions? That's your heart's the seat of your emotions, your feelings. An animal, a dog, is sensitive to a person's feelings. If you're angry, it upsets that dog. If you're sad and crying, the dog just joins right in. He feels what you're feeling. Ain't that true? A dog. Other animals are the same way. And then people just treat each other like they ain't got no feelings. They're totally insensitive to other people's feelings. Sin makes you that way. And it's what's wrong. This agape love we talk about once in a while in John chapter 21 there. Agape love is a divine love with which God loves even the sinners of this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's agape love. It's the love of God. Phileo love is the heartfelt emotional love with which we love those who are dear to us. And I ain't going to preach that message, but I'm just telling you, the Father loved the Son with phileo love, not agape love. Study it. Look at it. They try to make one lesser, one greater. No, both of them count, and both of them matter. The first kind, agape love, does not require the heart to reveal itself. But the second kind of love does. There ain't no way we can love somebody with phileo love unless we can know them. And we can't know them if they won't open their heart to us. People get married without it. They get married in lust, not love. They get married in deceit of a heart that's been covered and pretending and putting on and showing, making them believe something that ain't true at all about them. Covering up what they really are. And they get married and then they end up in a mess that way. We can't know somebody and we can't love somebody that we can't know with phileo love. We all know that feeling when we do get a glimpse into the heart of another person. Now, you with me here? Listen to me and I'm going to be done here by noon. We'll be out of here. But Do you know that feeling when you do get a glimpse into somebody else's heart? Yes, you do. If I can just get you to understand what I'm talking about. Nothing will open, you know, weeping is one of those things. It's a display of emotion it's an overflow of emotion. It's what you can't say with words, but it's out of your heart. It speaks of hurt. It speaks of pain. It speaks of joy also. But that opens somebody's heart to you more than anything else I know of. You can laugh. You can shout. But that don't really, that might be fake. That might be phony. But when somebody is weeping, there's people, I guess, good enough actors to do it, but it's not, I've not encountered it that much in my life where somebody fooled me with that. Amen. It opens your heart and it makes you, all of a sudden, nothing will quieten a crowd down more than that will. Nothing changes the atmosphere, the whatever's going on. You can be in a terrible ruckus. That'll just bring everything to a halt. Why? Because somebody's heart, you're seeing in somebody else's heart. It affects you when you really do see into somebody else's heart. Did you ever find out something about somebody you didn't know? I'm talking about good. I'm talking about you found out they cared when you didn't think they did. You see their love for somebody. You see what their heart's affection is really set on. That's how you know somebody's heart, is when you know what their heart loves. That's how we know one another. That's what displays it. We all know precisely what it is that reveals the heart to somebody else. All right, here it is. It is love or the lack thereof. That's what uncovers, that's what discovers a heart. That's what lets you know what they really are. That's the question we have. That's what we're looking for when we're examining, when we're searching, that's what we're looking for, love. Is there love? Do they care? Do they care? Isn't it? That's the thing that makes the bond or breaks the bond between hearts. Well, they don't care. They don't care about me. They don't care about anybody. That makes it impossible. You can love them with agape love. You can say, oh, Lord, you know, help them. But you can't have that close oneness and communion. Don't y'all see that? God loves the world, but he's not in communion with the world. He loves them with agape love. He esteems them, you know, as a value. He don't just throw them off. He ain't ready to just throw them off into hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves them that way. But as far as a relationship, there is none. And that's where, you know, most even good Christians, that's about where they're at in all their relationships. They don't go beyond that. They don't go beyond that. They don't really love one another. Jesus said, this is how all men are going to know you're my disciples, how you love one another. It's going to be obvious. Because that's the question everybody has about knowing somebody else. Do they care? Are they a person who loves? We don't consciously say that, but that's exactly what we're thinking and what we're looking for. Amen. Y'all thinking about that? Every relationship's that way. Every quarrel, every bit of enmity between a husband and wife, between parents and children. How many times the children say, well, you just don't care anything about me. You don't love me. Yeah. Husband and wife, same way. It's a constant thing to be reassured that, yes, I love you. That's because hearts are closed. You're separated. That, it ain't going to work that way. You're going to have to open up here. There's going to be no secrets. In the heart, you're going to have to know one another, to love one another, right? And people, they halt and they balk because they're afraid they're being fooled and deceived. Ain't no need in that, really. You can tell what somebody loves by watching them. Watch them a little bit. Be around them a little bit. You can tell what they love. The test we have for the heart of someone else is their love there? And what or who do they love? That's what we're looking for. Oh my, that's the most pointed thing I've said, if you just listen to that and think about it. Nothing reveals the heart of a person like what the heart's affection is set on. Didn't Jesus say that? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can tell what a person is by what they love. You can tell what's in their heart by what comes out of their mouth. Nothing reveals the heart of a person like what the heart's affection set on. We can't love one another and as we should without knowing one another's hearts. Love responds to love and makes one what was before separated. You see, what God is talking about when he said about Adam and Eve, and then Jesus repeated it in the New Testament about the twain shall be one. What God therefore hath joined together, let not man put asunder. He's not talking about physical stuff. He's talking about two hearts that are joined into one. With what? A contract? No. Love. And Adam knew his wife. He knew her. He didn't just meet her once a week, you know. The only time he thought about her was not in the, you know, bedroom or the kitchen. He knew her. He knew her heart. And God joined them together. We're the bride of Christ, supposed to be. Hey, ain't that the way it is? Those who are really saved and born again, bride of Christ. He's going to say to many, many are going to be there that day and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these marvelous works and all these miracles in thy name? He's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You wouldn't let me know you. You kept your heart closed to me. You did your own thing. You just worshiped me with your lips, but your heart was far from me. I never knew you. There was no relationship between me and you. You wouldn't let me. You wouldn't have me. You wouldn't know me. You did all that in my name, trying to convince everybody that you knew me, but in the reality of it, I never was in your heart. Ain't that sad? How'd they end up that way? Just on what I'm talking about here this morning. It's like people do when they come to church and the preacher preaches the word of God to them and tells them how it is and they shut it up and say, I ain't doing that. I ain't listening to that. He ain't going to convince me. That's his. I just wall it up instead of being open to receive and understand the truth. Lord, search my heart and know me. Ain't that what it says? And see if there be any wicked thing in there, any wicked way, and teach me. Well, that's the right attitude. A person like that's going to know God. Yeah. Jesus knew their thoughts, and God knows our thoughts afar off in the Old Testament it talks about. He knows us. He knows all about us. But the trouble is we won't allow him into our life. I mean, we won't allow him to have reign over us. And the reason is because we don't know him. See, it's turned around. Love responds to love and makes one what was separated. The Lord's Prayer in John 17 is focused on that fact. In John 17, verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you and me today. We believed on Jesus through the word of them that passed it on down to us. Their testimony, their preaching, their keeping the faith that was once delivered to the saints. and contending for it. That's what we believe in. Now, Jesus prayed for us, there, them that will believe, that shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. But they also, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. He repeated it, see, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. How many times did he say one there? That we'd be one. How are we going to be one? Love. How are you going to love with hearts closed up and shut up? You ain't going to do it. Can't do that. There's no unity in the churches anymore. I don't know where there's a church where there's unity in that church. Because people don't love one another. Because they're shut up against one another. And they have ought against one another. And they invent ought against one another. And they look for reasons to be divided instead of looking for reasons to be one. It's necessary. We all know and we've all experienced what it's like to have to bear our heart to somebody and then be betrayed by them. This is our greatest hindrance in opening our heart for others to see. But we got to realize that love always carries with it the risk of getting hurt. And we've got to realize, too, that Jesus did the same for us. And he got hurt. And he's still hurt. When we see him, we'll see his wounds. We're not going to see scars. That's an invention of men who didn't understand. He's got wounds, not scars. Men are still crucifying him. Men are still spitting in his face. Men are still buffeting him. And just like the picture I seen a while back, a march and a protester holding up a sign, if Jesus comes back, kill him again. That's what he feels from the love that he gave. He did it for us. If you're going to follow in his steps, then you got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross and follow him. You're going to have to be like him. Yeah. All right, just real quick here. The gain is well worth the risk. We've got to face the fact that our own selfishness is the only reason we shut up our heart to others and the only reason we refuse to search out the hearts of others. Our selfishness is the only reason that it's that way. And that's the first step in coming to Christ is to deny yourself. Right? That's what Jesus said. If any man come after me, he must deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. John 17:3, he said, this is life eternal. Jesus said this, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now that's eternal life. You think you're going to go to heaven because you prayed a little prayer? Because you've been baptized? Because you go to church? Because you say you're a Christian? Because your mom and dad's a Christian? You think you're going to go to heaven because of any of that? No. What is eternal life? To know God. And to know his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That's eternal life. Do you know him? Or you got your heart shut up against him and against everybody else. We're his epistles, the Bible says, written and known of all men. I mean, known of all men. We ought to be an open book. If God has fixed us, if he's fixed our crooked, sinful, selfish heart, then we ought to be an open book. We ought to be easy to know. That's why a preacher, pastor, must be given to hospitality. That means open. You can come anytime. You're welcome to look anywhere. Not hiding, sneaking, covering, closed. Watch it. Don't. Y'all understand this now. Now, we've talked about guarding your heart. a lot, haven't we? You're guarding your heart. Your mind is the guard of your heart. But we better be careful when it comes to heart to heart. Get your heart right. Keep your mind in the Word of God. Walk with God. Your mind will guard your heart. But our heart has to be open to do any good to other people. There was a song he sang, it's a, how can we reach a world we never touch? Amen. All right, let's stand. I'll quit. It's noon. That's just another aspect of our heart and how different it is from our mind. See, we like to talk intellectual stuff. And we like to be taught point one, point two, point three, and have them all start with a letter, same letter and everything. We you know, there's so many people right this morning, right now, that's what they're enjoying in church somewhere. It's an intellectual, you know, fascination or high. But the heart's a different thing altogether. We can't know one another, just minds. We can talk about all kinds of things and I won't know you. The only way I can know you is see in your heart. And if you won't let me see in your heart, I can't know you. Right. Same here. If you can't know what I care about and what I really love and what I esteem of the most importance in life and eternity, if I won't let you know that, you can't know me. Right. You husbands and wives, if you don't open up to one another, your hearts, and know one another. Ain't nothing else going to make up for that. You're going to have at the very best, you're going to have a frustrating, lonely life. Amen. I thought about this even after I get started. It's just like pushing something off down a hill and it just keeps snowballing. It just keeps picking. That's the way it is with this. When I start thinking about it, I'm struggling to dig. And then the more I dig, I run out of time. At 25 after 9, I got to stop and print it. And then all the way to church, I'm thinking of more. And it just won't stop. And that's the way this is. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. It's just the key thing. It's a key thing. Got to get it. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for everybody's here this morning. Pray you bless your Word to our hearts. Help us, Father, to understand this, to keep it, to practice it in our own lives. Help us, Lord. The times are desperate. We're at the end of this thing. Time's short. The world's on fire. People are dying, going to hell, and they're being lost. And right out of the church pews, right out of our homes. And Lord, help us, oh God, to realize what we're doing wrong and to fix this thing. Help us, Lord, to quit being so selfish and shut up against one another. Help us, Lord, to let down this guard and let people in. And let us into other people's hearts and minds. Lord, that we would be one and not divided. Oh God, help us. Bless the day. Bless your Word to heart. In Jesus' name. Amen.